Among the bills being considered during the 2017 legislative session, the North Carolina General Assembly is reviewing proposals that could impact at-risk youth and children across the state. SB 594, which creates a plan for revamping the state's child protective services system, and SB 549, the so-called Raise the Age Act, are working their way through the legislative process, with the outcomes of both still unknown. I sat down with North Carolina Senator Terry Van Dyne, who represents Buncombe County in the General Assembly, to talk about these bills. We began our conversation with a bill she co-sponsors, the Child Protection and Accountability Act.
The moving force behind this is Senator Tamara Berenger. Senator Berenger is a foster parent and has a lot of experience with these issues. It came, though, out of an investigation by the federal government in the way we did Child Protective Services as a state. And there were 16 factors that they measured, and we failed all of them. And one of the most disturbing was child safety. So what we have now is, there are 100 counties in North Carolina. Some of them do a great job, and I happen to think Buncombe County is one of those. But some of them struggle, and partly because they're small counties with big problems. And so one of the things that Senator Berenger's bill does is it includes time to look at how things are being done, how we can better measure outcomes for child welfare, how we can reorganize, because it's not acceptable to have some counties do a really good job and some counties struggle. So she is proposing that we look at regionalizing child protective services. Now, that doesn't mean that any particular county will have to be in any particular region. What I appreciate about Senator Berenger's approach is that I believe she is motivated by the desire to want to do better by our children, not by a preconceived notion of how this should be done. And so the first thing she does is she sets up a work group to look at these issues and try to come up with a structure that will provide all our counties with the support they need to do a good job.
Are there any specific examples of, you said that one of the gaps, one of the vectors was in child safety. Did we hear specific stories when we did this survey?
There were some horrible, you might remember the child that was found chained to a porch with a dead chicken around his neck. I mean, there were some truly horrible stories. And of course, when anything like this happens to a child, that's unacceptable. When it comes to children, we all want to do a better job. And I think that's the attitude that Senator Berenger is taking on this legislation. It's certainly the attitude I'm taking. What I want to do is I want to make sure that I help protect what our counties are doing well, because there are a lot of things our counties do. And sometimes I think in the legislature, we get filled with kind of a spirit of reform, and we stomp over the work that people have done for years that is good work. So I want to protect what's good, but I want to improve what maybe isn't working as well as it could.
Is there any model outside of the state of North Carolina that might be helpful in revamping how we organize?
No, I think we're trying to keep a completely open mind so that we do it in a way that is not just consistent with North Carolina values, but also allows regional differences to be expressed as well. What's good for Buncombe County isn't necessarily good for Eastern North Carolina. So it's going to be data-driven. We're going to monitor outcomes so that we can hopefully catch difficult situations before they blow up and a child is injured. But we want to, you know, the bottom line is we want to do better for the children in North Carolina.
Where's the bill right now in the legislative process?
There's a lot of the language in the bill that has been put into the budget. The budget passed this through the Senate in the wee hours of Friday morning. So now it's on its way to the House.
And this has got bipartisan support at this point?
Yes, it does. You know, we're all a little on pins and needles, a little skeptical. We want to make sure it's done right, but we all want to work on it together.
So if we could, let's move on to the Juvenile Justice Reinvestment Act. I know there's some recent movement on that in the budget, the so-called Raise the Age. So could you give us a little background on what's going on in that area?
Well, we have been working on Raise the Age for long before I was in the General Assembly. I can remember a few years ago doing a child watch tour with Children First Communities and Schools when they focused on Raise the Age. And what we're talking about here is the fact that North Carolina now is the only state. It used to be one of two. New York was the second to the last, that treats 16 and 17 year olds as adults in the criminal justice system. Well, what we know about 16 and 17 year olds, and you could probably expand to 18, 19, 20, maybe even a little further. But what we know from brain research is that these are children. These are not adults. And their brains are not fully formed, especially that executive function. So yes, they know the difference between right and wrong, but they don't necessarily have that impulse control. And I think, you know, if we're honest, we can all remember being 16, 17, and like I said, maybe even 18 and 19, and doing things that we just, oh my gosh, are so grateful we got away with and lived to tell the tale. But unfortunately, some children run afoul of the law. And in North Carolina, that can affect their lives forever. And that's not what we want to do. We want to get these kids the help that they need so that they can lead productive lives as adults. And Raise the Age the way the law that I believe is passed through the House, I know it was on it was on committee. I'm not sure where it is in the House, but it included an allocation because, of course, if you want these children to receive the kinds of counseling and treatment services that they need, and I might add that their families need to deal with the reasons why these kids got themselves into trouble, that's going to take an allocation of resources. The Senate chose to take a different tact. And instead of working on it with a bill, we put it in the budget. There's a lot of policy in this budget that we passed Friday morning. And the provisions that are in the Senate budget do not include an appropriation. Rather, they put the date off for implementation and say, let's put a study group together and figure out what it's going to cost. And it also changes the language from the House bill to only include misdemeanors. The House bill also includes low-level felonies. And I think clearly that we're talking about children, okay? And we need to treat them like children and get them the services they need to turn their lives around. And I think it would be really unfortunate if we leave session this year without the House version of the bill, which will include low-level felonies as well as misdemeanors.
Sometime last year, might have been around August, I guess there was, I read a comment where I guess we were having this conversation back then, and you had said there was a lack of political will to really push this issue forward.
Has that improved? Is this a signal that that will has changed a little bit, or are we still kind of in that same area?
No, there have been some remarkable changes this year. And one of them, I feel I have to call out Sheriff Van Duncan. One of the impediments in previous years has been the Sheriff's Association. And even when they opposed it, Sheriff Van Duncan saw the wisdom of this. And I remember him coming to the General Assembly more than once to sit down with legislators and tell them, express his ideas about why raise the age is important for North Carolina. And so the Sheriff's Association has changed their position on it. The Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court, Justice Martin, has been a very strong advocate for raise the age. And I might add, he is a Republican. That makes the issue clearly bipartisan, which of course is very, very helpful. And so I'm sure I'm leaving some important advocates out, and I don't mean to do that, but I think those are two very important advocates that we got on our side. As a matter of fact, Governor McCrory put forth he created a task force to look at mental health and substance abuse issues. And one of their top recommendations, the task force that he put together, was to raise the age. So there's been a lot of work on this subject, thankfully. And I think that's created an environment where it is finally time to do this. And I'm very, very hopeful. I cannot say for sure. It could get eliminated from the budget, or we could take on the House language and put that in the budget. I am hopeful that it's the latter, not the former, and that we end up at the end of the day doing the right thing by our 16 and 17-year-olds.
In part two of my interview with Senator Van Dyne, we touch on topics such as the state legislative process, impediments to expanding wind energy, and possible changes to the Asheville election system. For Asheville FM NewsHour, this is Doug Klesch.